Hear the words of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
Adum be what Jesus. English translation is, there's hope in Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. Adum be what Jesus, enuna mensaka. Adum be what Jesus, enuna mensaka. Adum na mitia siye, emuna meke kamihuo. Emuna mi ye madinina. Adum be what Jesus, enuna mensaka. Adum be what Jesus, enuna mensaka. Adum na mitia siye, emuna meke kamihuo. Emuna mi ye madinina.
This is a time in our worship service that we share joys and concerns with one another, what is on our hearts and our prayers for this community, for the larger community, and for our world. Are there joys and concerns to be shared this morning?
Walter is scheduled for another treatment on Wednesday, but he's not sure he wants to continue with treatment. Mm. So I ask your prayers as he and the doctors make that decision.
Prayers for Walter in these decisions about future for treatment.
I just want to ask prayers for my family in Ghana. My elder brother just passed away. He has stroke for a while now, and he just passed away last week. So I'm asking prayers for them, for the arrangement, for the burial and everything.
Yeah. And what's your brother's name? What?
Chester.
Chester. Prayers for Chester and all of Priscilla's family in this death this week, and particularly in the distance between family in a time like this. Prayers for the Blackburn family. They're good friends of my grandparents, and Mr. Blackburn and good friends of mine passed away this week. So just prayers for them. He's been sick for a while. And then prayers for the Ryan family. It's a coworker of mine. Her father had an aneurysm this week and is in the hospital recovering, but I think it'll be a long recovery. So prayers for the Ryan family and the Blackburn family.
And prayers for grief and for healing.
Prayers for my friend Linda and her fiancé, Adam. Her fiancé is only 36, and he's facing open-heart surgery, and so they went for a second opinion in Boston this week, and he's going for testing, and they're trying to hold on. He has aortic stenosis, so they're trying to hold on to his natural valve before putting in an artificial one, so just prayers for them.
For Linda and Adam in these medical situations.
My aunt, my father's sister's husband, he has a rectal cancer, terminal condition. They just found out a month ago, and the condition is really bad, maybe 6 months so. And he is sort of Catholic, I think, but I don't know about his, his faithful status. Just pray for them and their family.
Prayers for Young Oaks' uncle in this this diagnosis of cancer.
Yesterday, the Refugee Welcome Mission House Group had an exciting morning. A group of us went over to the Natandarea home, and Ernest had invited a number of friends who have children and wanted to apply to the Times 2 Academy, where their son Pacifique goes to school, and five families showed up. So we needed all the help that we had there. And it was just a great morning, and so we could pray for those families. Most of their children are in schools that are either in state takeover right now or they are chronically underperforming, and there just is a real desire for their children to be in a school where they can really learn. So let's pray for that.
Prayers for these five families seeking good, all Burundian families, all seeking refugee education opportunities.
Good morning. Just a word of thanks and encouragement to all of you. We were able to drop off a big bag of coats to Martin Luther King students just down the road here, and a huge wad of box tops. So they're very grateful, and thanks to everyone who contributed. And just keep praying for them and praying for ways to be involved on an ongoing basis. Thanks.
Great. Prayers for the ongoing education outreach efforts.
I would like prayers for a friend of mine at Brown who's really sort of wrestling with very intense doubt in his faith in Christ in recent weeks.
Okay. Prayers for Jeremy's friend wrestling with doubt and faith in Christ. Prayers for Helen Negotian, who had successful surgery on her leg this week, but she has moved into rehab for a week or so. And so we want to continue to keep her in prayer as she goes through this time and gets back on her feet again.
Let's turn to our God in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, whom our words may cradle but never contain, we lift this prayer to you today. Gracious God, you have called us to be the Church of Jesus Christ, to be one in faith and service, to break bread together, to proclaim the good news of your love for the world, and to live in your truth. Draw near to us in this small hour, we pray, as we seek to draw near to you, O God. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that we experience in our lives, for our families nearby and far away, for friendships that endure and are renewed through the years, for new opportunities, new possibilities, new hope. Lord, we pray this day and lift up concerns from our congregation and our lives, that you might hear, that you might respond, that we would grow in faith in you. Lord, we lift up Jeremy's friend this day as he questions and wonders how doubt and faith fit together. We pray you would bless him and provide friends to come around him in this time. We pray this day, O Lord, and remember all those who are in need of extra need of your presence and healing touch. We lift up Julie's brother Jim and Melinda, Gwen Keller and Helen, Monica. Look with compassion on all who are sick or facing medical uncertainties, we pray. For Walter, for Linda and Adam, for Young Oak's uncle, for the Ryan family. O God, who creates and sustains and redeems all creation, we lift our world to you as well. We pray especially this day for the people of Syria in all the turmoil and terror that they face. We pray for peace. We pray for reconciliation. Lord, here in our city, we do pray for the refugee community and those who seek a better life for their children, especially through education. We pray for the Intandarea family and all those in the Burundian community who have gathered seeking a new way. We pray for our schools, especially MLK School this day, and the continued your continued blessing of them as we seek to be good neighbors. O God of comfort, we stand with those who are in sorrow this day as we know you surround them with your love. Be especially with Priscilla's family in Ghana at the death of her brother Chester, we pray. We lift up the Blackburn family this morning. Mighty God, trusting in your word and your spirit, which enables us to pray, we lift these prayers to you. And in the spirit of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, we continue now together and aloud, praying the words that your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Gina is coming forward and invites all the children in the congregation to join her for some singing.
Children's best.
Children are released at this time to their classes downstairs, and the high school class is meeting upstairs today in the couches room.
Okay, the Old Testament lesson is from Psalm 15, verses 1 through 6, which can be found in the Pew Bible on page 491 and in the large print Bible on page 639. The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before him is the devouring fire and the mighty tempest all around him. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. The New Testament lesson is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the fourth chapter, verses 1 to 6, which can be found in the Pew Bible on page 169 and in the large print Bible on page 220. It is also projected on the screen. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's words. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in face of Jesus Christ.
This is the word of the Lord.
You're invited to stand for our middle hymn this morning, which is number 2195, "In the Lord I'll Be Ever Thankful." Stand as we sing together.
In the Lord I'll be ever thankful. God, do not be afraid. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near. Lift up your voices, the Lord is near.
We continue in this journey through Lent in turning to lectionary passages for each week. This week we have turned to the Psalm, but also particularly to Paul's letter to the Corinthians as we prepare to enter into this season of Lent. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, pour forth your Spirit upon us as we gather here around your word, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We're going to begin this morning with a quiz. How many of you have heard of Jeremy Lin? Not quite as many as I thought, but former Harvard basketball player, but he wasn't a star there. Cut from two NBA teams, sleeping on his brother's couch in New York City as he is picked up to sit on the bench for the New York Knicks. When the Knicks lose two of their starting players and are in a slide of losses, he comes off the bench and propels them to 5 wins in a row, breaking the previous NBA record, and I forget who holds it, maybe my son knows, of points scored for the first 5 games as a starter coming off the bench. On Friday, 2 of the editorials on the New York Times editorial page were about Jeremy Lin. And David Brooks gives us some interesting things to consider as we look at these texts this morning, as it speaks directly to the scripture text in Corinthians that we are considering, a text about how we are to live in Christ. The problem, as Brooks sees it, is that the sports ethos violates the religious ethos on many levels. In Brooks' words, ascent in the sports universe is a straight shot. You set your goal, you climb toward greatness. But ascent in the religious universe often proceeds by a series of inversions. You have to be willing to lose yourself in order to find yourself. To gain everything, you have to be willing to give up everything. The last shall be first. It's not about you. David Brooks' words, not mine. He writes that this sporting ethos pervades modern life and shapes how we think about business, academic, and politics. You can read the full column in the Hope Room. It's posted on the bulletin board on the side if you'd like. There is indeed a tension between our developing our own individual gifts and strengths and recognizing that it is God's work in us that makes all that possible. We see that tension as Paul writes to the Corinthians, and the lectionary text for today says something to us about that dynamic tension. Some of the most powerful and positive statements about how we are to live in community, to love one another, come to us from Paul's letter to Corinthians, a church that was very often in conflict as it moved in many different directions. Paul wrote several letters to the church at Corinth, a church he cared deeply about, and not all of his letters survive to today. In fact, the first letter to the Corinthians is actually the second letter that he wrote to the Corinthians. We don't have the real first letter to the Corinthians. Paul deeply loved this community, and he sought to be the light that he knew that Christ wanted him to be in the world, the light that is coming forth to enlighten all people and to show them how to live. He had high hopes for them, that they would be able to live as those lights. And Paul grappled with this dynamic tension of asserting his own authority to help call the community back to Christ, while at the same time calling believers to be slaves in service to Christ in seeking to live in that way. The ministry that Paul calls the people to here in this text is rooted first and foremost in the mercy of God. When we think of mercy, we think about being kind to others, of giving to others. But the mercy that we receive from God, this mercy of God that Paul is talking about, is an unconditional love that sustains our very life. It's a ministry that we are given that calls us to be a people of transparency, of honesty, a people who are rooted in God's word. That means that we are to be ever asking the question, what does Scripture say to us? How does it lead us to interpret the other things that guide our lives, that distract us from Christ's life in us? Our time, our talents, our treasure. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we will enter again into the season of Lent, a season of reflection in the 40 days leading up to Easter, a season which challenges us to grow deeper and closer to God and the life that God intends for us. What would it be like for us to be a people to step out to be more rooted in God's word, to seek to honestly live our lives in Christ, not to be something that we aren't, but to bring our whole selves to God and to live every day knowing that grace and power rooted in the mercy of God. Our African members know about this. More often than not, if you ask one of them, "How are you?" the beginning of that answer is invariably, "By God's grace, we are good. In God's mercy, we are doing okay." Listen, you'll hear it in here. I think it is a power that has transformed in this congregation, those simple words, "By God's grace, we are good." God's love is always beckoning us to live in fullness and trust of that love, to remember and to ground our ministry and our very lives there. Last Saturday at the Presbytery meeting, as is often the case, a new candidate was coming forward to move up to the new level of candidacy. At his charge to this candidate at the meeting, his pastor, Reverend Dae-Joon Roh, reminded Soo Young to be trustworthy, live with moral integrity, gentle in nature, with the Lord at the center of his ministry. He could have been quoting directly this text of Paul from Corinthians, Jesus' power out of the heart of mercy. When people proclaim the gospel, what they proclaim can never be dissociated from words and actions. The gospel is not a set of abstract truths to be announced, but a way of life to be lived. At first glance, the text from today sounds a little bit negative and over-defensive, but Paul is quite overwhelmed by the greatness of God in Christ, God's mercy for him and for us. And it is into a challenging world that message comes. We too are called to be bold for Christ, but to always remember that that boldness is rooted in God's mercy, God's love for us and for all God's people. And there is a root in humility to seeing it that way. We do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, Paul writes to the Corinthians. Our text today says that we proclaim Jesus as Lord and ourselves as slaves for Jesus' sake. I even choke on the word. It's not a politically correct concept to be slaves. We'd much rather be followers or even servants of Christ, diakone. But the Greek word is doulos, slave. Yet we have to acknowledge that the mercy of Christ that we're talking about here compels us to respond, to be so rooted in God that we can only live as slaves, our very actions depending on that relationship to our Master, Jesus Christ. It's shocking language to our ears, because we would much rather think about Jesus as our friend, our closest companion. But Jesus Christ is also our Lord. To reach deeper and higher, to stretch and to grow, to serve and to commit our lives to the God who has given us new life in Christ. The paradox and promise of this message is that in becoming slaves, we become truly free as we have never known it before. Since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart, Paul writes. If we would but root ourselves in that mercy, the overwhelming and unconditional love of Christ poured out for us, God can do abundantly more than we can ever ask or require. With a great task comes great strength. Did you know that it is on record that the whole of the musical work of Handel's Messiah was composed and written down in 24 days? Handel hardly slept or ate during that time. A great task brings its own strength to it. It is Jesus who says, "Let your light shine. Do not hide it under a bushel." And this is a countercultural message for us, not just between sports and religion, but on the values which undergird our society for us to be the best we can be, self-made people, rugged individualists. Brooks says in his column of this tension in Lynn, "The odds are that Jeremy Lynn will never figure it out because the two moral universes are not reconcilable." But he goes on to say that they are in tension, a tension that we too live in, even if we aren't NBA new stars. In new visions of life and ministry that we see in harmony and for better ways of living in Christ. Brooks ultimately does give credit to Lynn for seeking to live in that tension to follow Christ. In a 2010 interview, Jeremy Lynn was quoted, "I'm not working hard and practicing day in and day out so that I can please other people. My audience is God. The right way to play is not for others and not for myself, but for God. I still don't fully understand what that means. I struggle with these things every game, every day. I'm still learning to be selfless and submit myself to God and give up my game to him." Jeremy Lynn's words. A creative contradiction, Brooks calls it. Witnesses to Jesus sometimes come in very strange packages in our culture. Will you join with me this Lent as we root ourselves in this mercy of Christ in ministry together, out of God's great love for us, to live into the gospel truth that we have been given, and may Christ's light shine out of the darkness, that we too may truly proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen.
Please stand and join me in the affirmation of faith from Paul's letter to the Ephesians printed in your bulletin. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world
to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Forgiving Father, we faithfully give witness to your work in this world by sharing the gifts and offerings. You shed your Son, Jesus, so that we may repent of our sins and be saved. Thank you for providing us with the example of how to place courageously your call of discipleship into action. We pray that we may live each day according to your holy ways. In the name of the great teacher Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
your importance in our lives, O God, is reflected in our gifts. We return to you through the ministry and the outreach of this church, a portion of all that you have entrusted to us. We promise that these offerings will not be the end of our giving. We will also invest our time and abilities in your work of hearing, comforting, teaching, guiding, and proclaiming good news. Bless each gift, whatever its size, and multiply the good to be done through our talents and treasure. Amen.
Our final hymn this morning is Shine, Jesus, Shine. It's number 2173 in the small blue hymnal. Let's sing together.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Raise, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, overflow from the nations with grace and mercy. Send for the world, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine.
Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us to the end of time. Amen.